chapter 16. This verse is not in your notes, but I take you here. Title of the message, you'll see I've got two titles. You just see my struggle sometimes. Why did God establish and ordain His kind of church? Why should the mission? What should the mission of Hope Baptist Church be? Why are we here? I tell you this, I'm not here to play church. And I want us to enjoy this message today. Don't tune out. Maybe you heard of these. So I asked my wife, don't turn around the back of the page yet. Well, I asked her last night, I said, what are the top three reasons? Now, God didn't tell us top three reasons in that order. Your pastor is going to give you what I believe the top three reasons He establishes churches. And there could be a lot of disagreement. My wife was wrong last night. So, I asked her, I said, what are the top three reasons why God would establish it? And I thought we'd be pretty aligned. And it was like, wow, are you wrong? But I loved her thoughts. You could have different thoughts as well. But I think when I step back and I see the scriptures and I think it's close. There's an infinite amount of reasons the Lord established His churches. And I just want to make sure I don't miss the big ones, right? That I want to major on the majors and minor on the minors. Matthew chapter 16. Let's begin at verse 13. Matthew chapter, did I say 16? Okay, for some reason you hear your voice different. I said, oh, no. Matthew 16, okay, good. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter, always the first one to speak. I so relate to him. I'm a thorn in Juan's side in Sunday school, so I'm going to shut up next week, Juan. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter got this one right. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, or small stone, pebble, if you will, and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. Jesus speaking of Himself. The only time that Petra is referred to another man, it's when Peter refers to the chief cornerstone. But He says, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, I believe He's speaking again to His churches, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want you to understand this, that Jesus established that first church in Jerusalem during His earthly ministry. And there's confusion, but there's not confusion for me. Jesus established the church upon Himself. And I'm glad He didn't establish it on Peter or any other man, because it would crumble, it would fall. And when it says the gates of hell, death would come upon it. But when it's established on Christ, Christ can deliver His promises. But I ask you 2,000 years later, why are we here? I've handed out these notes because I want to cover a lot of scripture, and I'm going to read quickly, but I'm going to slow down so that we can grasp it. But when I've asked a few people, why did the Lord establish His church? And the first answer, you know, there's two answers you can always give to any Bible question. If you say, for the glory of God, you'll be right 80% of the time. And then if you just say, Jesus, you'll be right 50% of the time. And so I just gave the kids a great, what was Sunday school about? Jesus. And so, but pay attention and give them the details. But I want you to look at just a few passages here that talk about the glory that the Lord intends to receive through this institution, His church that He established. Look at this first passage here, under all for the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of the prayers that Paul has for this church at Ephesus, beginning at verse 14 in your notes. For this cause... So for those at home, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him, Jesus, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I will tell you, you were right if you said he established his church for his glory. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 5. It is a good passage for marriage, but I'm telling you, he really wasn't talking about marriage. So don't check out when you see this passage. And then I have a lengthy quote by a friend of mine, Philip Rogers, he's in Mississippi, that is one of the best, it's one of the best explanations of Ephesians 5. That we explain God's words better than our explanation, but sometimes I need some help. I'm gonna read that quote. That's why I put it in there too. So I'll get the, but I want you to understand this. When we read Ephesians chapter 5, your marriage reflects on the Lord's church. It's a big deal. Because he built his church to receive glory. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let's just park there for a while. I'm just kidding. verse 23, just kidding. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Because unlike what you thought, those are my words added, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This great instruction for husbands and wives is really about the Lord's church. Now, walk with me. I beg you. This may be the best nugget today. Will you hang in there? I'm going to read this quote, but I want you, your eyes to follow every word I say. This quote's fabulous. Right under Ephesians 5, it says, the marriage of a man and woman, especially those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, is to be a living testimony of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. Yeah, I have a typo there. His bride, the church, whom he purchased with his own blood. His love for her, the church, knows no end. A Christian marriage is always saying something to the watching world. What it says may be inaccurate or false, or it may be accurate and truthful. Either way, our marriages are always transmitting some kind of message. Being unfaithful to the marriage covenant does much more than simply bring shame upon us personally or to lead to negative consequences in our lives. To be unfaithful to this marriage covenant is to lie to the world about Christ and his church. It says that Christ is not a good and faithful husband, that he does not keep his promises, and that the church does not trust in and submit to Christ. To walk away from the marriage covenant is to make a mockery of Christ in the church. On the other hand, being faithful to the marriage covenant is a small but important representation of the eternal covenant that exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and his own. What an outstanding thought that our marriages can and should reflect this glorious truth. Christian marriages exist because of the gospel and must be built upon the gospel. A Christian marriage does not say to the world, look at a perfect couple. Rather, it should and must declare to the world, look at two people who are sinners and in need of grace, who have found that grace in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our only hope now and forever. He is the great keeper of promises, and his promises will all be fulfilled. I'm telling you, that's worth keeping that piece of paper. When you read Ephesians 5, there's great instruction for married couples, but it's bigger than that. See, Ephesians 5, don't check out if you're single. Check in because you want to understand how you can And it's just amazing that God would allow us to represent him. It's daunting. It's intimidating. So this morning, I want to talk about three reasons why, if you'll allow me to, I think they're the primary reasons why the Lord establishes churches. I want you to understand this. I've had people tell me this. I don't know if they've told me this in the last year. Normally, every year or so, I get this. They'll go, I don't believe in organized religion. I'll give you something when people say that. Say, well, is disorganized religion your choice? I ask them, or do you prefer anarchy? I want you to understand this. There's a lot of religion that's false. And you can organize it any way under the sun, and it'll never get you to heaven. So, in that vein, I'll agree with them that says most religions are of the devil. They all have the same message, just be good. And that's a lie of the devil. But I want you to understand that the Lord establishes churches so that we would organize and meet his purpose. And I want you to understand this. I mean, my objective. You look at Hope Baptist Church and you say, we're the hope of the world. I'm not sure which is more underwhelming, the Ukrainian armed forces or Hope Baptist Church. But I'm telling you this, with God, all things are possible. See, I'm not worried about how many people, but by God's grace, I want to create a revolution that you and I, that by God's grace, we will pursue what he wants us to pursue. And that when we fall, we'll get back up and we'll do what's right. And that we will honor the Lord Jesus Christ all our lives. We will fight distractions. We will fight our flesh. And that we will finish our course. And we will run the race the way God wants us to run it. And so I want to encourage you. This isn't just because. This institution and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ with Christ as his head. You see, we're not the pinky. This is a complete, independent, autonomous body of Christ. With Christ as our head. Your pastor's not the head of this church. Jesus Christ is. That's daunting. But why are we here? Why are we here? Turn on the back of your papers. I'm going to show you three reasons today that I believe that we're here. First thing I want you to see is to exalt the name of God and Christ. I've put a summary at these. I'm going to have three summaries that I think the purpose of the Lord's church is. It's declaring, teaching, and loving. There's so much more, but I believe at the heart of what we are to be declaring, teaching, and loving. So I've summed up my message. It's okay if you disagree. Hang in there. At the end of the day, I want to understand this. Lord, am I focused on the things you want me to focus on? I want to take you, just look at these passages I have. First, I want to take you to the Old Testament and see that this message of declaring and exalting and praising, you see, I could have said praising because my wife, you know, she loves music so much. Is my wife in here today? Oh, there, she's right there. Yeah, I love that. It's hard to find her. She's always moving. And so she's trying to find somebody to sit with, and that's good because, you know, she is thrilled that she doesn't have to sit with me, but she just wants to love people. But it is so, you know, she's so music, and I love this, right? No doubt about it, right? Everybody that comes to Hope, they'll say, man, I love your music. And I love your music. Okay, come on back and sing with us. I'm just glad for the Holy Spirit. You don't have to love the preaching. You know, the Holy Spirit can... Don't you dare brag on the preaching either. You know why? I'll believe you. And it'll destroy me. I've told you this. Never, never, never compliment me. Just say, if God used it, say, God used that message today. I've told you this a million times. When people tell me what he used, it's normally not what I preach. That's how good the Holy Spirit is. But I want you to see these passages. This first one is David goes to meet his brothers and to find out about the war. And Goliath's making a scene. And David says this. In 1 Samuel 17:29, and David said, what have I done now? As his brother criticizes him and says, oh, I know the naughtiness of your heart. And David says, what have I done? Is there not a cause? I ask you this, I preach it to our teenagers. Is there not a cause? I want you to understand, what's the cause? Now David then delivers that cause, and look at down at verse 45 and 47 on your notes. Then said David to the Philistine, he's going to tell the Philistine what the cause is. Thou camest to me with sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day into the fowls of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David understood when he went on that battlefield, it was about the honor of the Lord. It was about to let the world know there is a God, and he's the only God that can give us victory. I want you to see then, Solomon got this. Solomon, you know, and I think it was Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, I don't have that on your notes, but 1 Kings chapter 3, God comes to him in a dream and says, ask what you will. And Solomon was humble. He's probably only 18, 19 years old at the time of that prayer. And he asked, he says, give me wisdom that I may judge this so great, your people, right? And so he was humble. God said, you're going to be the wisest man ever to live, and I'm going to give you fame and riches that you didn't ask for. Solomon, what ultimately destroyed him is he made affinity. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and it says his wives drew his heart away from the Lord. And so it does matter who you hang around. It does matter who you hang around. But Solomon, in the dedication prayer to when the temple was being dedicated to the Lord, Solomon was the builder. David wanted to build. God said, no, you have blood on your hands, but you can get all the materials. Solomon, in his dedication prayer, look at this. I've got this next. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 59. It's in the middle of his prayer. You can go back and enjoy the whole prayer. Solomon says, and let these my words, speaking to the Lord, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people at all times, as the matter shall require. Solomon says this, let us maintain the cause of your servant and the cause of your people. What's the cause? He tells us the cause. Look at verse 60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. The cause has always been the same. The cause is always today. It is to exalt. It is to lift up the name of the Lord, the name of Christ, and to declare him to everybody that'll listen. I want you to know, I believe that's why he established his church, to carry that on. The temple's no longer here. The institution that he established is churches just like us. Not impressive, but we weren't intended to be. That should make us humble ourselves before the Lord and say, we can do nothing. I want you to understand this. I want you to ask your question. Do you declare? You see, I am distinguishing declaring the truth. Let's just look at some more verses. Look at here, Acts 1:8. Jesus, right before he ascends, is giving this church at Jerusalem, this only first church that was in existence at the time. He's telling them, but you shall receive power. The baptism of the Holy Ghost happened. I believe that only happened twice in Acts 2 and Acts 10, but not here to talk about that. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, not within you, come upon you. And then here's what they were to do. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. My word declaring, I could say witnessing. See, I believe this. I believe we ought to witness, we ought to declare, we ought to testify. I believe there's a difference between witnessing, declaring, and testifying. I do believe there's an element of teaching in that. But I want to tell you this. It is, you ought to declare, you ought to witness. If you say, oh no, Steve, that's teaching. They don't learn much then. And so I just want to tell you, we ought to be declaring, and that's what he told that first church. He said, wait until I send and I baptize with the Holy Ghost. And then I want you to tell everybody. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Excuse me, looked at Mark 6, 15. He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. I think that's the declaration. That's the declaration. You know, I do praise the Lord when we have lost people. We have lost people in our services every week. But where are the lost people? Are they in here? Is this where we preach the gospel to them? They're out there. And we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Look at Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. 1 Corinthians 1:31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Then look at Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want you to understand this. I believe this. The Lord established his church. He wants us to be organized about it. He wants us to declare to our Jerusalem. There's 5,100 homes within a 1 mile radius here. I will answer for those 5,100 homes. I'm not ready to answer for them yet. It won't be a good report. Will you help me? Will you help me declare? Will you help me tell this Jerusalem about Jesus Christ? I'm not worrying about answering to God. I want to reach them for Christ. And I'm not here this Wednesday, so I wish I was, because, man, I'd be full court press. I'm a full court press right now for door knocking. You come. Come, fear, trepidation, scared half to death. If you're not a talker, we won't have you talk. But it'll light your fire. You will see the need. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will be like, whoa, this is good. When are you going to talk? I know. That's what happens. That's what happens. And you'll be like, the first time you'll talk, your voice will be shaken. It's okay. They love sincerity. I remember when I started in the corporate world, you know, many, many years ago, and I've loved being gone 10 years, but I remember my first meeting, and I thought I would give them my thoughts. What a 22-year-old know-nothing. And I remember when I spoke, my voice was shaking. I was like, oh, you just made an idiot of yourself. But you know what I learned? Speak up. Are you saved? Declare. I believe he wants us to be organized about it. And he wants us to tell the world about our God. Don't you worry if people mock you. I'm not worried. You love them. Don't you get mad at them. Don't you worry if they're not kind. You love them because but for the grace of God, we would be just like them. We've got to love the unlovely. We've got to love our neighborhood. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord and understand this. Oh, yes, you. And you know what? Whatever church God has you for, I want you to understand this. You are planted there to be a declaration of your great God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll declare it to the world. I want to tell you, it's not. So let me give you an example of declaring that wasn't teaching. I was in Circle K the other day. Shock, right? I mean, when you pay $5.99 for 30, 40-ounce drinks, I'm not going to miss it. I've showed up at 11:59 for a drink, you know. I'm a deal guy. But I was in Circle K, and this guy, his name means God is judge. You can figure out his name. I told him, he'd been working on him. He said, I will have a Bible study with you. I told him the other day, I said, here's the question you got to answer. You don't have to be loud like me. But I was declaring, I wasn't teaching a lot. I left. Boom, I had the whole store, and I thought I would. There's probably six people in Circle K, you know, so it's not like hundreds. But they all got nervous because I get loud. I'll say his name. He's probably not watching. So I said, Daniel, I said, what you have to figure out, how you going to get rid of your sin? I said, that's the question for all religions of the world. How you going to get rid of your sin? I said, all religions of the world have the wrong answer. They say, just be good. Daniel, I want you to know, what does God say? What does God say is the solution for getting rid of your sin? I said, Daniel, if you don't get rid of your sin, you're doomed. I turned out and I walked away. When I did that, you should have seen the story. All six people that were in there, they're looking at me. They're thinking, you know, I might go nutso, but I didn't. They probably thought I went nutso, but I looked back when I got in my car, and they were, I wanted to start talking about, who is this God? What is he talking about? And then I'll trust the Lord might use that. You see, that's just declaring. You declare it in your way. I didn't do much teaching, did I? But everywhere I go, I want to tell you this, everywhere you go, declare the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this, I love our church. I think you try. You do declare. I think you're looking for opportunities. You're looking for opportunities to say something about God. That's declaring, and you keep it up. You keep it up. You keep declaring. You look for opportunities. You can say, I am blessed. I think you're kind of making people think. And then you can go further and say, I am blessed because God has been good. You know, you can just, but that's declaring, but there's another level. I think the second reason the Lord established his churches was to fulfill the Great Commission. That's the teaching. Look at this passage here. You're familiar with it, Matthew 28. This commission was given to the 11. Judas had committed suicide, but they also represented that first church. 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us the apostles were the first church, first members of the first church of the Lord. It says this in Matthew 28:16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the lost. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching! That's after they get saved, then we're going to teach them all things. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. I want to help you with this. And this is a tough one. The average Christian I meet doesn't do this. I'm not beating them up. But I'm telling you this. You want to have the joy of the Lord? You draw nigh to Christ. Nothing's better than His presence. But when you get in His presence, you'll do this. It's teaching. Teaching others. Teaching others. And I'm talking one-on-one, one-on-two. Men with men, women with women. I am. Everyone I talk to, right? I will tell you this. I have a new... I think I'm going to start going to funerals. That I know people. It's just opportunities. Opportunities, right? Yeah, I know. I could be crazy. If I find out they really work... People are tender. I got a Bible study out of the funeral, Sister Rattle's funeral. I see people I haven't seen all the time. Here's what I just said. You know, I said, how are you and the Lord doing? We could do better. I said, boy, I could do better too. And you know, if they talk to me long enough, I'll go, are you teaching anybody? And this young man that was at the funeral, he was fired up. I mean, I'm fired up about it. And so I'm setting up a conference call with him. He said, I do have a Bible study with three of the Christians. I said, that's fantastic. I said, but who are you reaching for Christ? I said, what's resulting from that? And he said, you know, I think we ought to invite some lost people to our Bible study. I'm going to go talk to our men. I said, I wouldn't do that. I said, a lost guy's going to come and be so intimidated by you, they're going to leave and never come back because they know they don't know the Bible. I said, I want all four of you to have four Bible studies with lost guys. I want you to go find lost guys. I said, how about this? How about let's have a conference call? Give me your number. We'll set up a video conference call. See, I'm trying to start a revolution from the West Coast. I talked to an East Coast guy this week, too. And I said, I'll take care of the Midwest. You ready? That's us. Let's not make it funny. I know. We look at ourselves and go, one soul at a time. Who are you teaching? I know. It's nerve-wracking when you ask somebody, would you like to have a Bible study? And you're hoping they say no. And when they say yes, you're like, Lord, take me home. Take me home. You can do it. It'll change your life. I believe it's the Bible. You see, I'm telling you, it's what God wants every believer. I will say this. You keep declaring. And I think there's a distinguishment. And let's start teaching. Talk to a young man, East Coast. Goes to a large church. So here's your solution sometimes. You know what's going to be more satisfying to me, and I'm not against large churches. I need to go to a bigger church. So I'm not bemoaning anything. You know what I want? Let's pursue the Christ, and He'll give us who He wants. I just want to see people saved. I want to see people made right with God. I want to see marriages improved. And let's just tackle that one person at a time. So, you know, he goes to a large church. He called me because I've been working on it for a while. And he texted me and he said, my coworker just got saved this morning. He had 16 exclamation points. I counted them. Because I thought he's excited. I asked him, I said, how come you didn't put 17? I said, no, I didn't. But he was excited and I said, God gave you a baby. That's how I talk. And then he called me, hour and a half phone conversation. I hardly said a word. That's a shocker. And I told him, I said, if you can just get hold of this simple truth, I said, you're so young. And I said, I want you. And I told him this. He said, you know, I'll be honest, it was my son. So I didn't want to tell you my son, but my kids will feel a little pressure from me, right? And he said, he thanked me. He said, thanks for pushing on me. And I said, Josh, I don't want to push too much. I'm a pusher. You feel that when I preach sometimes? But I said, I want you to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, I know and I believe in what I teach. And I said, you have almost reached nirvana. I said, the presence of the Lord is the best thing. Teaching others is, there's nothing like it. And then when God saves somebody, I want you to ask God, and I'm going to try to help you, right? We're going to do a new thing, try to get more Bible studies so that I can't do them all, and I'm going to deploy them all, right? You in? You in? you're saved, right? Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. No, I know that. You in? You in? You in? You in? You in? You in? All right. Who's not in? Raise your hand and we'll scowl at you. No, I'm just kidding. Look, I want to help you. I know you'll have a heart attack. God will give you what is that called that they've given me? Nitroglycerin, spiritual nitroglycerin. You can handle it. I want to tell you this. I believe this. The Great Commission is all about teaching. I beg you, I'll help you. I'll help you. Just start. Ask God. And you know this? My son, he said, you know, I said, how long have you been pursuing this young man? And he went back and thought of me. He said, about 9 months. I said, well, that's a normal pregnancy. You know, it's not always 9 months. Sometimes it's 10 years. Sometimes it's after you go to the grave. And God says, I remembered Abraham, and I love you too, Steve, and I know you want your grandkids to be saved. I beg you, I want to start a revolution. I believe that's why the Lord establishes churches, so that we would declare Him and we would teach others. And I believe this, the manifestation of that is that each one of us, each one, or each one, teach one. I believe that's why we're here. I'll help you. But I want you to be challenged. Who are you teaching? You'll see in the notes. Who's on your portfolio? What lost people are you pursuing? What saved people are you pursuing? I have a friend that is going through near depression. He doesn't have anybody in his portfolio, and I knew exactly what it was. He calls me, and I don't even know if I'm a Christian. I mean, but you know, you get discouraged, right? You get discouraged. You know, it's like, God doesn't want to use me. And so we're begging God that He'll give him some more Bibles. See, he's experienced the sweet nectar of the Great Commission. And he had a rough Bible study. Just the husband just kind of went AWOL. And those are hard. I'm telling you this, when you get involved with people, there's going to be some tears. There's going to be some heartache. But you keep loving them. Don't you reject people that fail. You keep loving them. God may use your witness years later. But I'll tell you, when you do experience it, you're really, it's your heart's desire. I beg you, let's be a church that teaches. And then the third reason, I believe, it's for love of and fellowship with believers. Declaring, teaching, loving. And I specifically said believers. I want you to understand this. And I always have to discipline myself to make sure that I'm loving God's people, God's sheep, better. I love having Bible studies with lost people, with newly saved people, with even Christians that have never been discipled. I love all that. But we just need to love one another. We need to love one another tangibly. We need to help one another. We need to be concerned about that. We do. I want to tell you what, we want to honor Jesus Christ. We can love the world and love them truly with the gospel. And if we neglect His people, I think we have failed. I want us to be a balanced church. I don't want us to be a church that we're too inwardly focused. But I don't want to be a church that neglects the fellowship and the love. Help me. I do love this. I love hearing stories how you're doing that. Keep it up. I love this. Don't count on the pastor. You love it. If you say, man, they could use some help, let it be you. Man, they could use some money, let it be you. Man, they could whatever. Let's love one another and let's help one another and we'll honor the Lord. Let's look at these verses and then I'm not far from a close. John 13:35, a famous verse says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. We ought to love one another so much. We ought to enjoy one another so much. Warts and all. You know, I mean, it's one of the things that anybody that's married, you understand that. We got some couples, newlyweds back. I don't normally do this with guests, but you seem seasoned enough for me to say this. I know, she's perfect right now, right? Not really. It only took 3 days. Just kidding. But you love that woman. Don't ever let negative thoughts roll through your mind. Love the brethren. I'll tell you what, the longer we're together, the more we're going to get on each other's nerves. You're going to find out every single person in this room has the ability to be a jerk. What are we going to do? Love them. Remember, Jesus loved you when you were a jerk. He still loves me when I'm a jerk. If I want to represent Him, then let's love the brethren. Let's look at these scriptures. Look at John 17. This is this great prayer in the garden. Jesus, He shifts. He talked first to the Father. Then He talked about the 11. And then He's talking about us that will come. Look at this. John 17, verse 20 says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." I'm telling you this. If we're together, and we're aligned, and we've got issues, the world might just believe that God sent His Son. That's what Jesus says. I want to tell you, it's powerful when you understand. It's worth forbearing one another, right? Because of Christ. And the Lord says, if you are one, the world will believe that God sent His Son. It's powerful. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." Look then at verse 10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." Let's just keep reading, because I want to tell you this. One of the great evidences that you're a believer is that you love the brethren and all the problems. All of us are a mess. Look at 1 John chapter 3. It says this, "In this the children of God are manifest," or made known, "and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Okay, so we got this. If you're living in sin and you continue in sin, you probably evidence you're not a Christian and never were, right? Oh, but here, this is, okay, we all like, amen, right? But then it says this, "Neither he that loveth not his brother." I will tell you this, if you just take one thing out of this message, do you have issues with another Christian? Make it right. Do your part. Swallow your pride for the cause of Christ. Call them. I sent a text yesterday to a young man that's not happy with me. I didn't want to. But when you preach these messages, you know, I need to send a text beforehand. So I was like, I'm clear. That's not why. I get convicted by my own studies. I want to make sure that he knows I love him. And it's all about Christ. Let's look at verse 11. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life." How do you know you're Christian? Because we love the brethren. "He that loveth not his brother abideth not in death." You know, I run into people all the time. They go, "Well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian." I go, "Well, that's true. That is not a requirement to be born again. But the Bible says that you'll love the brethren. How come you don't like them so much that you don't want to be around them?" They don't know what to say. I'll say this. We are rascals, are we not? But you want to show that you love Jesus. You'll get along with rascals. That's what the Lord says. It's an evidence. Then I'm going to read this final verse, 1 John 4, 20 and 21. He says, "If a man say, I love God," and everybody says that to me, "I love God, preacher, you're fine. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar." Folks, you cannot misunderstand these words. The Bible's not difficult to interpret most of the time. It's just difficult to believe. "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." We'll have a great discussion. I want to discuss it. You won't insult me. I think these are three primary reasons the Lord establishes churches. To declare there is a God. To declare the gospel. And I think there's another level that says we teach it. There will be people that declare it in all kinds of creative ways. I mean, I'm telling you, after I preach a message like this, I could see me in a gas station. "There is a God!" And you guys jumped. Imagine at a gas station. I don't know. I don't want to be a nut where I bring dishonor to the Lord, but I'm fired up, so I want to do it right. Maybe a bullhorn would be better. I don't want to yell. I want you to be excited about declaring the Lord with your personality. You don't have to be my personality, because you guys go like, oh, thank you, Lord, for making me an introvert. I would not want to be like him. Love Christ. Declare him. Teach others. And love the brethren. That's why we're here. I want us to remember this, that we would pursue Christ, his honor, and his glory, and we would never forget the simplicity of why he established his churches. I'll tell you one final thing. If you're lost today, if you watch us, we'll disappoint you. I don't want to see you leave lost. I don't want to get emotional about it. And I'm sorry where I have discouraged lost people to stay lost. It's wrong. Don't let Christians get in your way of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is glorious. He is wonderful. And he will take away your sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your peace.